Hello and welcome to Intrepid Heroes Presents, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder or Starfinder, but also other topics as well. With me today is Gary Norton from Los Angeles. Welcome.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure meeting up with you again here at SkullCon.
Yeah, it's great to see you. We've Gary and I have made the rounds of multiple cons throughout the country this year, and unfortunately for me, this is probably the last one for me that I'll be seeing you, but I know you're going to continue on to several other cons, correct?
Well, that's certainly my plan. I've got PAX Unplugged later this year, and then once we get into 2020, a whole new slate of conventions to head off to.
Oh, excellent. So you're going to start the whole cycle again next year then?
I'll start off with Scarab in January and then get into the summer conventions as well as, you know, maybe find something else to do in the spring.
Well, cool. So while I have you on the topics of conventions, which of these is your favorite? I'm just kind of curious.
Oh, boy. There's all such different things. Like Gen Con 2 years ago, rolling out Starfinder was a blast.
Oh, yeah, I imagine.
And then doing that again this year with second edition. Mm-hmm. Meeting so many new people coming from all sorts of different editions of play to learn the new game and see what's going on and hopefully get interested in these games. PaizoCon's a completely different kind of beast with a much more relaxed environment, a good opportunity to meet lots of people. And then there's just so many good, you know, regional conventions around the country that have been fun to visit and meet new people.
Excellent. Yeah, I can see you're not going to commit to any one being a favorite here out of all of them. All right, I think that's probably fair. All right, so you are a 5-star GM, and as of just 2 days ago, a newly minted 5-Nova GM.
Or whenever Tanya makes it official.
But you've officially completed all those requirements, and as far as I know, you're the first to do both of those.
I believe that's true as well. Mike Bramnick is the only other person I noticed that was both had 4 Novas and already had 5 stars.
So tell me about this process you went through to get the 5 stars and then the 5 Novas. It's kind of been a goal for you to achieve this, or because Starfinder hasn't been out that long, and already, you know, you're already reached kind of the pinnacle of the grading system or the scoring system, or however you want to call that.
Well, I've always been more interested in GMing than being a player. It's where I get a lot of my own, you know, self-actualization, if you will, of what I enjoy in the role-playing game environment. So when I came into Pathfinder, I knew, and once I saw the 5-star thing, I knew that I wanted to get into that very quickly. And so after I played about 30 games just to sort of get my feet wet how the society works, then I transitioned to GMing and then just started pounding away at getting all the games and the specials. I wasn't traveling as much then, so it was a little bit more trouble for me to acquire the specials.
Right, right, right.
And then when Starfinder came out, I'd long been a fan of science fiction role-playing games, but I just never found any that really worked well for me. I had picked up Traveler way back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
But I'm not the kind of game master that's good at developing a lot of my own content, and there just wasn't enough in Traveler for me to really either grab onto and run with. So I actually ended up giving all of that away. But when Starfinder came along, and even like Claim to Salvation just was such a fantastic opening adventure for the campaign, and then as we started getting into it, the month that really sold me on Starfinder was the month where we released Star Sugar Heartlove.
Yes. And that is still a favorite of a lot of folks, yes.
And Save the Rincrotas was also a fantastic one. And certainly by that point, it's like, okay, yes, I do want to push in on the 5 Novas and run lots of games. I was running the new content for a group up in Pasadena every month. And then after almost a year, I was able to start up a second group running actually close to my house in Torrance. And so that really helped get me the raw numbers of games to meet the 150 threshold. But in parallel, I also started traveling around all the conventions so that I could run the specials and get those knocked out of the way relatively quickly.
So how many tables do you have right now? You know,
I think it's, if this one gets reported, I should be at 188.
188 tables. And in your local area, you do that by doing multiple tables a week, I'm guessing, for...
Most weekends, I'm running 2 to 3 games. It has been Starfinder going back for a while, but now with the release of 2E, I'm starting to work that back into the rotation.
So are you going to go for 5 glyphs next then?
That's an option. I haven't decided yet. I'm still getting my hands wrapped around what the campaign's looking like. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see more from the campaign development side with the scenarios being released in terms of, you know, what's the purpose of the Pathfinder Society.
Right, you know, right.
We've had some nice adventures, but I haven't run Pathfinder Society things for about 2 years, and so I'm kind of coming in with a little bit of a fresh eye towards the scenarios,
right?
And I'm not seeing, hey, what really happened, why are we here, what's the purpose of the society, how's it changed, and I'd really like to see that.
All right, so what are some of the challenges that you've had kind of going through this process, you know, to achieving your 5 stars, you know, achieving the 5 novas? Were there a lot of differences between doing that?
The biggest challenge for me for the stars was that I wasn't really traveling to the conventions much at the time. So it was really getting the specials.
So getting the specials, which are only at major conventions typically, but now a lot of the smaller regional ones are doing them as well.
Well, we have in Los Angeles our 3 times a year Strategic Con, and I was getting a number of specials knocked out there. Mm-hmm. Then I went to PaizoCon and to Gen Con to help try to get those. I ended up getting hurt a little bit just with where my timing ended up being. Mm-hmm. For example, at the end of season, I think it's the end of season 5, they did the Paths We Choose, which was detailing the new factions. Mm-hmm. As they changed from season 5 to season 6. Originally, that was supposed to be a special that would count.
Oh, right. But
then
right,
the community was like, hey, we need to be able to run this for everybody so all the players can get to it, which was a fine decision. But that ended up being, okay, a special that I ran at Gen Con, which then didn't count.
Right.
Then there was the Bone Keep scenarios, which I could run as a 4-star, but then been pretty played out in our area, so it was difficult to run those. It wasn't until they came out with the Weeby Aspis, the first one, that I was able to run that several times to get to my 10th special.
So you've been a GM for quite a long time, it seems like, and have quite a bit of experience. What advice do you have for players that are looking to transition to doing GMing?
A lot of what's important for GMing is your preparation. Especially when you're new to the craft, you really need to do your homework. Once you get a hold of the scenario, you're looking at the monsters or the enemy NPCs, and you need to spend time investigating what the different options are, what the different abilities are. And I'm not even talking about trying to come up with, oh, neat, nasty death traps of how you're going to entrap the PCs, but knowing what the abilities are so that you can just use them effectively and timely in combat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when you're doing preparation, what does that actually look like?
So I actually create a little text document for all of my scenarios. One of the first things I want to go through is document what all the maps I'm going to need for the scenario are, which is, you know, typically going to be a combination of flip mats or custom maps that I drew in the past, but in the last couple of years for Starfinder, I've been getting printed out. And then I go through and I list out, okay, for each area, what are the monsters or opposition that you're going to find there, what miniatures and or pawns do I want to use for that. For Starfinder, I go through all the equipment that you can find through the scenario, your armor, weapons, and other things, so that when players find it, I have already at least looked at that equipment so that I know what it is. Plus, it's nice to be able to give a little, hey, this is tech level 4, it does 1d8 right. fire damage, has a 40-foot range, you know, whatever the number is, so that the players can get that into their hands. My players in Los Angeles typically do have copies of PDFs so they can look things up, but it's still helpful to be able to give that. Some GMs, I know, put that on cards that they can
hand
out.
Right, yeah, I've seen that. I think that's pretty handy to do that. It's a lot of preparation work, but yeah.
Yeah, and then I actually, one of the other things I go through is I list out all the skill checks that show up in the scenario.
Wow.
So just to kind of get an idea, for me, one of the things that's useful for me is when I type things up, that kind of gives me a good, you know, almost finger into my brain, helps my jog my memory and get it in there.
Cool. So what are you working on next? So you've just got your fifth Nova here completed. You're still doing some cons, playing a little bit of 5e, or playing a little bit of 2e and GMing second edition. Other projects you're working on?
I'm an old fan of the RuneQuest world of Glorantha. I was introduced to RuneQuest in the early 80s in college when it was still pretty big. Not ever competitive with D&D, but you know, one of the leading fantasy RPGs of the time. And I've always really enjoyed that world. And then when third edition D&D came out and they really integrated skills into the system, I was like, okay, now we're kind of getting to the point where I could actually make a D20 system work for the world of Glorantha. And I actually did some work. I actually bought some 3.5 books and stuff that are still hanging out in my collection that I started looking around how I would do things. And as I investigated, it's like, boy, this is going to take me a lot of work to really make this happen. And so it'll make a nice retirement project.
Excellent, excellent. And you are retired now, right?
Right. So I've been retired for a little bit over a year now. Yeah. And that happened right before Pathfinder playtest came out and the Pathfinder 2nd Edition had been announced. So the timing was really great for me because it's like instead of trying to integrate the 10 years of Pathfinder 1st Edition into the new rule set, I could pick up with 2nd Edition.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And
yeah.
go a little bit cleaner.
And how are you finding 2nd Edition?
I'm really enjoying the way the system moves. The three-action economy is great. A lot of the negative conditions aren't typically as bad as they were in first edition. In order to be, you know, really messed up, you typically have to critically fail a check instead of merely failing your saving throw.
Right.
One of the ones that's always gotten me is the kind of frightened or panicked ones. You know, if you've ever been playing in, you know, you get hit for that and it's like, okay, I'm running away for 9 rounds. Wow, that was a lot of fun in that combat.
Yeah, yeah.
So that even, you know, with I forget the spell in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, but if you critically fail, you're running away for 1 round, which isn't, you know, great.
No, you can get back. So,
But that means you're only out of the combat for 2 rounds.
Wow, yeah.
Instead of the whole combat. So things like that, I think, have really helped keep people in the game.
Well, cool. Well, thanks so much for taking time to visit with us on the podcast. Enjoy the rest of your con here and safe travels on your future cons that you'll be going to. I'm sure we'll see you around.
All right. Thank you, John. And I'm sure we'll see you up at PaizoCon next year.
For sure.